thank you for at least coming by and trying us out, giving us a shot. Tonight's going to be different. You know why? Time changed. I was sitting on the couch last night and my most serious observation, 7 o'clock, it was pitch black dark. Which means at 6 o'clock tonight, it's going to be pitch black dark. I thought, well, a lot of folks are not going to be able to come and be a part of that due to physical reasons, and people can't see to drive at night, especially if it's raining. You can watch online and give us a thumbs up. At least let us know you're there on our Facebook page or on Thomasville Church of God. If you're not able to be here, just know that we're praying and we're still going to try to have church through the winter months. It's difficult at times, but we're still going to do our best to do that. I want to share with you today a message that I've had on my heart for several days. And I guess it comes out of a heart of concern for not only the church, but our society today. Don't take a whole lot to figure out that our society needs Jesus. Our society needs revival. The church needs revival. It's so much easier to be able to look across the aisle and say, that person right there is a person that really needs revival. But that old thumb is moving back here going, you know, I'm really a person that needs revival today. I need God's help. So today I took for a title today, Help is on the Way. The book of Matthew chapter number 4 is where we pick up reading in verse number 12, where Jesus is there, seemingly in some way after being tempted of the devil. You can read all this in your text today if you back up. Not only do you read that, but you also read where that John was cast in prison. We can see that. Verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. This is in Isaiah chapter number 9. Which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. It says, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light. To them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When I was reading back through some of the commentary that went with this, it is actually a scripture reference that is found over again in the book of Isaiah. It is a time that Matthew actually picks up on in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 2, where the scripture says, and the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. That they dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. David knew a little bit about the shadow of death. David declared, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm sure if I looked deeper into why this was called the valley of death, there would be a whole lot more insight into this. But one of the things that I found very interesting when I read this was simply this, that it was during this time that Herod was in domain and the Roman army was already in rule. They had already taken John and put him in prison. It was already on the radar screen for Herodias to come where that John's head would be delivered unto her on a charger. Knowing that there was great danger ahead for Jesus, this text actually tells us that he walked, And it said that he was in prison, he departed Galilee, verse 12. He departed into Galilee. One of the reasons that that was said was simply because that Jesus understood and Jesus understood and Jesus knew that it was time for him to depart out of that region. Because at this time, Jesus was already hated, and we see that throughout the scripture. And as you read the book of Matthew, it aggresses, and you can see that finally, Jesus was betrayed with a kiss by Judas himself when he was there in the garden, and Jesus found himself praying, knowing that the heaviness of the crucifixion was upon him, and knowing that soon that Jesus too would be captured, which, let me go back and say this, he wasn't really captured because God had a plan for Jesus, and Jesus prayed in the garden, "Father, if there's any way for this cup to be removed, let it be removed." But he cried and he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done," knowing that he would soon face the crucifixion. But for the benefit of the text, we can understand that Jesus' life, even then, was in danger. I look around our world today and we can see that our world is slipping deeper and deeper into danger. Christianity today seems to be hardly anything more than a dead, dried up religion in many places. I didn't say a relationship with Jesus. If somebody just says they're a Christian and they have no change in their life and they just go on with life doing everything that they were doing before they quote unquote got saved, there's not been a change. Jesus came to bring help. Jesus came to change our lives. Jesus came to change our world. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, the Bible said. But again, when we look at this text, we can understand that the whole world at this time was in darkness. It's a time where the Bible says that men would find hope in the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Again, where that Jesus, this is a reading out of the book of Isaiah chapter number 9. Verse 16 describes the world that Jesus came into. And it describes this world where the Bible said that it said that the people which sat in darkness. I thought about this, I didn't write it down, but I thought about the 400 silent years and everything that was said between the last book of the Old Testament to the first book of the New Testament, the book of Malachi to the book of Matthew, 400 silent years. Do you imagine the world and the condition of the world when Jesus was born? And I don't have time to go into all of that. But Jesus came to bring light into the darkness. He came to bring hope, help, and healing into a world that needed him. It's as if today we're living in a world, and the world in its sobering reality, I know that we're living on the verge of the coming of the Son of Man. Some folks believe in the rapture, some people don't. And it makes no difference whether you believe it or don't believe it, whether you believe it's going to happen or it's already happened or whatever. The fact of the matter is that Jesus is soon to come again, according to Scripture. But in our world today, I can only imagine in my mind as I study this and as I process it in my own mind, it's as if there is a SOS flag being waved over our society today. Kathy has a picture of that flag, and this flag is a a international flag of distress. This flag is typically, it was developed, the Morse code was developed as a SOS. There's the flag. That is a, if a ship flies that flag, I can't get my tongue untangled. If a ship flies that flag, if anyone sees that flag, they know that that is an SOS signal. But yet in ships, they also have what is called the Morse code. And it's an SOS signal. And in the year 1835, there was a man by the name of Samuel Morse that came up with this code. And again, it is a three-digit code, if you will, that has been used around the world in some form, and it is still used today. And it's used, if you will, to alert people that there is someone in distress. It will alert the authorities. It will alert rescue workers. Now, just a few minutes ago, and I'm not going to point Nika out, she has a button. She hit that button and the rescue squad came. I don't know, many of you may not even know that. We had visitors a while ago. That's why I walked out for a minute. And it was perfect timing, perfect for this message. Because it was a distress signal. As that signal went forth and the paramedics was signified, someone that is there is in distress. Go help them. Get your lights flashing. Get in that unit and go down the road because somebody on the other end is in distress. Now again, this is how I feel about this message today. Because I believe in all reality, our world in some form is in disorder. And our whole world today is in distress. And I believe today as I was studying and I was getting ready for this, if even then I felt the Holy Spirit nudge me as I was sitting there studying, that I really felt like that someone would be hearing me today, whether here in the building or online, that you really need to hear this message simply because I believe that you are in distress. And I believe if you'll do what God says to do, I believe that you'll understand that God is there to help you and God is not there to hurt you. When I began to look at distress and I began to understand the definition of it and understanding what it meant, you say, well, I'm not in distress. I'm just happy as I can be. I'm just happy to be here. I'm on cloud nine. Well, good for you, because everybody may not feel that way. See, if I know my own heart and if I know the voice of the Holy Spirit, I believe that God told me as I was sitting there on the couch studying earlier in the week that the Lord said, you'll be talking to somebody that's in distress Sunday morning. Distress is actually a word that means suffering from anxiety. More anxiety today than they've ever been in all the world. Post-COVID, everything is anxiety. It also means distress, talks about sorrow, or it talks about pain. A SOS signal is a signal that goes forth that will signal that something, a ship, a plane, an aircraft, something is in distress. That there's danger that's imminent in the pathway of someone. Now, you don't have to agree with Pastor Green today. That's okay. You don't have to agree with me. But again, as I was sitting there, I was thinking about distress today. How that maybe even sitting in this room today, there's families that are in distress. It's easy for us to shake our head and it's easy for us to sweep it under the rug and say, oh, we're fine, preacher. We're doing really well. We put that facade on and we put that mask on. I do it and you do it. I put on a smile on my face and you do too, because we really don't want anybody to know what we're going through. Come on, somebody. But there's families in this room and there's families that I'm associated with, families that are in distress. The SOS flag is waving. They're just asking for somebody somewhere, help me. Somebody somewhere, here, see my flag. See that I'm in need of help. Families that are in distress. marriages that are in distress, children's lives, teenagers today that are in distress, older people, younger people, no matter who they are, there are souls today that are crying out for help. And somebody somewhere is in the background saying, "Will somebody please help me?" Now again, we can act like we got it all together and we can deny anything that I'm saying today. But I believe today that the Holy Ghost sent me by just long enough to tell you, if you'll turn to Him, if you'll listen to God, that there is help on the way, that God is here to help you and God is not here to hurt you. Turn to Him today. Jesus came to help us in our distress. Jesus is still our answer. Jesus is still what we need today. And I believe today that somebody says, "I'm a self-made man, I'm a self-made woman, I don't need anybody to help me do anything." No, my friend, you're filled with pride. And you need to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And in due time, God will lift you up. God is there to help you. God designed it that way. People fill their lives with alcohol. People fill their lives with dope. People shoot their veins full of dope in order to try to get the reprieve or the relief of something that's going on deeper on the inside of them. May I tell you, ma'am, may I tell you, sir, may I tell you, teenager that might be listening to me, no matter how old or how young you are, I've lived long enough to know that this world is filled with all kinds of evils, all kinds of opportunities to do the wrong thing at the wrong time, with the wrong people, with the wrong crowd. But my friend, I came by just long enough to tell you, if you look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, if you grab a hold of the hem of the garment one more time, that God will still help you. Again, we need to stop running from Him. It's odd, ain't it? It's really odd. I've seen it happen over and over and over. I've been pastoring for about 3 weeks now. A few more days than that. A few more weeks than that. Years, about 32 of them. And it's amazing to me, Sandra, since me and you're having this conversation and you're the listening party, it's amazing to me. People can come to church, sit on church pews, everything's just sweet, everything's lovely, shaking the preacher's hand, hugging the children's necks, everything's lovely, but you let a crisis happen. And it amazes me. I've seen this happen so many times. It amazes me. Not everybody. But Brother Harden, I've seen it happen over and over again. The first thing people will do will leave the church. They'll walk away from the church. The very place they need to be. And the biggest factor I think about is because they're ashamed, they're embarrassed, or whatever. But here's the bigger thing, but nobody understands what I'm going through. I don't have to I don't have to understand what you're going through in order for me to pray for you, in order for me to be there for you, in order for me to be there and do nothing more than be a shoulder to lean on or a shoulder to cry on, and for me to put my arm around your neck and hug you up like I do Brother Steve sometimes, say, "It's going to be okay, Brother Steve. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." He's got an ulcer on his foot that big around right now, barely able to walk. But it's going to be okay. If God be for you, who can be against you? What can stand against a child of God? Wave that flag. You ain't got a flag, but wave that flag. If I had a handkerchief in my pocket, I'd get it out and I'd wave that white flag today. I'd wave it. It'd be a sign to heaven. Hey, here we are. I don't mean to holler. I don't have to holler. It just hits me that way every now and then. Somebody says, "It don't take all that anymore." You're not up here. I am. You get up here, you do it your way. Son, it hits me like a bolt of lightning every now and then. But God knew what we needed. God knew we needed Jesus. Our world needs Jesus. I began to read the scripture, and I began to read through this. And again, I'm not going to take time because I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. But I remember reading in Isaiah, this is some of the scripture that we often read at Christmas time. But in Isaiah, we read this in Isaiah chapter 7, looking in verse number 10, I believe it is. And it says again in the word, it says, "And moreover, the Lord spake unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord, and ask it either in the depth or in the height. And Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also?" Look at this. And he says in verse number 14, he says, "And behold, the Lord," the Bible says, "and behold, the Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel. The only thing I thought of when I thought about that verse of scripture, I didn't think of Santa Claus or a present. I thought about how that God knew, come on somebody, that I was in need thousands and thousands of years ago, 750 years prior to the writing of the book of Matthew. God had already seen the world's SOS flag, and he did something about it. He made a promise. And then in verse chapter number 9, when you look in chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, and then verse number 6, this is what he says. Verse 1 picks up, "Nevertheless," I don't know if that's even the right place. Let's go to verse 2. And then in verse number 6, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light, that they dwell in the land of the shadow of death." Every person in the room had a death sentence on them. The Bible lets us know that there is none that doeth good. Every person that's hearing me right now, none of us could save ourselves. All of us must turn to the one that can help us. Verse number 6 says this in the word, "For unto us a son is a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful." Hallelujah to Wonderful today. Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. You want peace today? Again, symbolically, I'm talking. You can take your flag. You can wave your SOS flag today. And I believe that heaven will see that you are in need and in distress. And I believe that heaven will see your heart. And I believe that heaven will hear and heaven will answer you. So first of all, when we begin to see this, even in our text, Matthew 4 and 16, this is the commentary behind this. It says this verse is referring to the Assyrian invasion of northern Israel, predicting that after the dark period that a new light would shine. A new light would shine. Matthew implies that this is the messianic period. It's a time when Jesus would come. So what was it that gave them hope? I'm preaching a Christmas message this morning, or part of it. What is it today? Not only did the Old Testament promise that Jesus would come, but I love this because there was a promise of help. We see this in the scripture. Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 and 23 says it like this. This was the promise to Joseph that help was on the way. We see this in the scripture again. Matthew 1, 21 and 23. "And she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." What does Jesus mean? Salvation. Savior. Call his name Jesus. "And he shall save his people from their sins." If you're in a cesspool of sin today, you're in a good place for God to hear your cry. Look at these next couple of verses in 22 and 23. "And she shall bring..." Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, verse 23. He said, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted as God with us. God did not give us what we wanted. God gave us what he knew we really needed. Joseph was there. The angel Gabriel was there. Again, in Luke, the Holy One of Israel, God showed up and God began to speak to Mary, this little virgin Mary in Luke chapter 1. We don't worship Mary. Mary was chosen of God. For whatever reason, he chose her out of the hundreds, no doubt, that was there. But in Luke 1, 26 through 38, I'm not going to take the time to read all of that. You can read that when you get time, but I want to read. I can't tell Kathy what to turn to. Turn to it. Luke 1, we can see this again, how that the angel said to her, "Hail Mary, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." When you read through this, you can read the whole thing. In verse 35, the Bible says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore this holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." God knew that we needed a Savior. God not only sent that help was on the way through Joseph and Mary. Just real quickly, my mind went back to this one. His name is John. John, the Bible talks about this in the scripture in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1, again, several verses of scripture, but I just want to read one scripture, or two. Mark 1 and 3 says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." Thought about this, and maybe some of you deal with this, I don't know. There's all kinds of voices out there today. There's all kinds of voices in our head today. The Bible teaches us that we've got to trust Jesus. We've got to trust the voice. We've got to trust Him. Even when we don't understand Him, we've got to trust Him. Again, looking at the scripture, we can see that where that, and I'm just going to paraphrase this for time. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, in the book of Matthew, it's when John was crying in the wilderness as he began to say this. And he says this a word. He said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight." Who was this Redeemer? Jesus. The Romans hated him. Herod hated him. They all hated him. Even Caiaphas, the high priest. They didn't want nothing to do with him. He was breaking every bit of the tradition that was there at that time. Changing from the day of law, the day of the Jews, and what the Jews knew to the day of free grace. Somebody said, "Well, when I get my act together, I'll come to church, and when I get my stuff together, I'll get straightened out." May I submit unto you that you're not good enough to get yourself together. And I don't care who likes me and who don't like me. I've already went through that phase of life. But I'm going to tell you something, friend, you can't do it on your own. If you could have done it on your own, you'd have done it a long time ago. The Bible said in the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. God is wanting to change you, and God is wanting to do something brand new in your life. Somebody says it's turning over a new leaf. It's more than turning over a new leaf. It's a brand new life. This is what Jesus comes to offer, that whosoever will call upon him shall be saved. The Bible says again that Jesus, riding on the back of a young colt coming into Jerusalem, when they were there and right before Jesus' crucifixion, the whole city was filled with people and they were all there in Jerusalem. Jesus told them to go over to the next village and get a colt and her little young foal. bring them. If any man asks, say the Lord has need of them. They went, they brought the colt, they put Jesus got on the colt, they took their coats, they threw them in the streets or strew them in the streets, and then they cried in an Aramaic voice. They cried and they said, "Help us, help us." And they cried, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." And Hosanna again is a word that means help us. Save us. Maybe today in this room, and I wouldn't suspect this, but I don't know who's here. I don't know the heart of any man or any woman in this room save mine. Maybe you feel like you're on a collision course, and maybe you feel like you're about to crash. Maybe you feel like your life is spiraling out of order. Maybe you feel like that if you don't get yourself together, that you're surely going to be in trouble. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. God's the only source. He's the only one that can give you a brand new life. Again, they cried, "Hosanna, Hosanna." Again, they were crying out, "Lord, help us, save us now." If you've ever been in that place when you did not know what to do, and you knew that intimate death was in front of you, imminent death was in front of you. If God didn't help you, I don't know if I've really ever been there in that situation, but maybe somebody here has. And you knew if you didn't get the help from God that you needed, that you were really going to be in trouble. Jesus, right before I transition here for a minute, Jesus reminds us in the scripture, several scriptures that I want to share with you. Again, Jesus reminds us in the book of John. He talks in the scripture several places. He says, "I am the good shepherd." And he says this in the scripture in John chapter 10. I didn't write it down, but I know where it's at. He says in the scripture, he says, "My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow." Verses 4 and 5, "He putteth forth his own sheep, and he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger." Can I tell you today that we've got to learn how to trust the voice of the Lord? Sometimes, my friend, if our life is spiraling and we don't know what to do, the Bible said he's the voice that you can trust. "My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow." Again, when you look at this, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 34, verse 6 through 8, verse 6 again, he says, "The poor man cried." The poor man cried. All of us have been wretched. The poor man cried. The poor woman cried. Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee the great and the mighty things which thou knowest not." But the poor man cried. I've heard people say, Sherina, I've literally heard this said in my ears. A woman one time, I don't remember who it was, thank God, but a woman one time, she might remember, I don't. I barely remember yesterday. She said, "I can't stand to see a man cry." She said it with an attitude. Every now and then something strikes me and I shed a tear or two. It don't mean that I'm weak. Don't mean that at all. I don't mind being tenderhearted. It's a good thing. I don't want to be hard-hearted. I don't want to be hard-hearted. But the poor man cried. It's okay to cry out. Brother Russell, it's okay for us to cry and say, "God, we need your help. We need you." I think that's what's wrong with the American church today. We think we're all sufficient and we can do it on our own. But we can't. We're surely doomed. We're surely in trouble if we think that in the arms of the flesh that we can do this thing. We can't. It's going to take an old-fashioned move of the Holy Ghost and the power of God in our churches today. Some people may not even know what that's all about, but I want to tell you something. It's when God takes over and man gets out of the way. If there's anything that man needs to do in the church today, man needs to get out of the way. Several scriptures, I'm not going to turn to these right now for the sake of time, but this scripture says again, in three different places, in three different Psalms, I am going to go to one here in just a minute. He says in Psalm 42 and 5 and 46 and 1 and 124 and 8, every one of these say the same thing. Our help comes from the Lord. Then Hebrews chapter 4 and 16, I'm going to read that to you. What are you going to do today, church? What am I going to do today? If I need help today, it's not bad to ask for help. If you're spiritually sinking, you've got to trust God. Listen to His voice. It says here in the Word of God, as you look at this, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Help is a person. Oh my goodness. Help is a person. Help is Jesus. But we've got to learn to trust Him when we don't even know how it's all going to work out. We've got to trust Him. I got a video. Many of you have probably seen or heard this video. Will you turn those stage lights off where she can show that? This was sent to me several months ago. Some of you probably have sent it to me. But if you're going to make it to heaven, friend, you got to trust His voice. Listen to this video.
I was in Alaska doing a lawsuit. We're way out in the Aleutian Islands, getting ready to leave and go back to Anchorage and then home. And I had a ticket in my pocket to get on an airplane. A pastor came up and he said, listen, I can save you money. I said, how's that? He said, I flew a small airplane up here and I fly a small airplane and I can take you in my little airplane and you can save your ticket. And this did not sound, I said, gee, thank you so very, very much. But I've got this ticket. We'll just make our way on home, me and this other lawyer with me. He said, no, you got to do it. You got to do it. And against every better judgment I had, I said, okay. Well, we went out to the airport, took us by his little plane, and I looked at it. And I thought, well, one good thing, it's shiny. Then he walked around it. We got in. He's on the left front. I'm on the right front. The other lawyer's sitting right behind me. And he started it up. And it started up just fine. Well, we taxied out. I said, should we pray? He said, yeah, that's a good idea. We normally don't. I said, well, this time we're gonna. And I'm telling you, I prayed 5-8 minutes. I prayed a long time. We went and got on the runway. He starts down the runway. The plane lifted off ever so gently, and we start climbing. And it's wonderful. Not a problem in the world. We started climbing, and we flew probably 3-4 minutes. And something happened that will never leave my mind. The pilot turned to me and he said, we're going in the clouds and I can't fly in clouds. They make me pass out. I said, clouds make you do what? Now, it's been cloudy all day. And we go right up into the clouds and you can't see anything. And he looks at me and his eyes roll back in his head. And he starts mumbling and he passes out. Passed out cold. Now I grabbed him and I shook him and I said, come on, you got to wake up so I can kill you. Now we're in the clouds flying along with no pilot. And my friend in the back seat said, we're dead, aren't we? I said, there's a very good chance of that, yes. He said, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. But there was a radio right there and I handed him the microphone and I said, start asking for help. So he's in the back seat reaching up and he said, hello, hello. We didn't know any proper radio etiquette. All we were saying was hello. And somebody answered back, hello, hello. Don't you guys know proper radio etiquette? And I said, give it to me. I said, tell them, we don't know nothing. Tell them we're in an airplane with a passed out pilot and we don't know how to fly this plane. The guy said, I'm a freighter flying out of Anchorage on the way to Tokyo. And he said, you're telling me you have nobody who can fly that plane with you? I said, tell them that's correct. Now you got to understand, I am sweating bullets. He said, the first thing I'm going to do is start circling so I don't lose you, because I'll fly out of range of your radio and you won't have me anymore. And he said, I'm going to get Anchorage Emergency for you. And Anchorage Emergency will be the people that can maybe help you. Try to save your life. After about 5 minutes, Anchorage came on, said, we understand you have a passed out pilot. And those of you do not know how to fly that plane. We said, that's right. They said, well, the first thing we got to do is find you. And I'll never forget what this man at Anchorage said. He said, my job is to get you home safe. He said, that's my job. But he said, here's the deal. If you want me to get you home safe, you got to promise me you'll obey my voice. He said, you can't see me, but I can see you. And he said, if you're not going to obey my voice, you're going to die. When you can't see anything, you have no idea how disorientated you become. Finally, he said, okay, I found you. Now hear me clear. He said, you're 4 minutes from a mountain. He said, you're going to crash in that mountain and die. Follow my voice. I never said, I have to follow your voice? Is that reasonable? You see, I understood without his voice, I had nothing. And do you understand? Without God's voice, you have nothing. Nothing. Finally, he got us turned. And he said, I'm freezing all the traffic in the area. He said, it's going to take me an hour and a half to get you to Anchorage, and there's a lot of weather between you and Anchorage. You're in for a rough ride. And he said, I want you to hear me. I don't want you to look at what's going on outside. I don't want you to pay attention to the storm, just my voice. He said, if you start watching the storm, you will die, but I'll take you through it. Now, because they cleared all the traffic, several pilots, those nighttime freighters, those 747s, started talking to us. They said, we're praying for you, men. You're going to make it. But listen to the voice. That's the key. They said, trust the voice. You realize your head is full of voices, and everybody in this world wants to talk to you, and everybody wants to be the controlling voice. And God says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to put yourself on the altar and let my voice be your voice. Finally, we went through the worst of the weather, but there was still more. And then the voice came back and it said, now, I'm going to line you up. He said, I'm going to bring you in right down the runway. And at the foot of the runway are some lights, and they're in the form of a cross. He said, don't you forget this. The cross is the way home. Finally, he's bringing us down. We still can't see anything. And all he kept saying is, stay with me. My sheep, the Bible says, hear my voice and they follow me. Finally, just a couple hundred feet off the ground, we saw the cross. I landed the plane. In fact, I landed it 7 times. Finally, it all came to a stop, and the minute we stopped, the pilot woke up. The voice said, thanks for listening. I watch them crash and burn all the time because they won't follow my voice. They don't understand I'm the one who can see them even when they can't see me. But they get the voices in their head and they kill themselves. They self-destruct. Thanks for listening to the voice. Then they put us in a motel room, and about 4 in the morning, they knock at my door. And I open the door and a man was standing there. He said, hello, David. He said, you're the voice. You're the one who got me home. He said, I am. Do you understand? One day you're going to stand before him and say, you were the voice. You're the voice that brought me home. If you're not on that altar as a living sacrifice, your head's full of voices. And then we wonder why kids crash and burn. We wonder why marriages are shattered. And the Lord's saying, I'm the one who has the voice. All I can remember is that voice saying, stay with me. Amen. Stay with me. Don't listen to what's going on in your head and don't watch the storm. Stay with me. And I'll take you through. Tonight you have a God who has promised to take you through. A living sacrifice, holy. I was in a lab.
Amen. I thought y'all might enjoy that. But not only just to enjoy it, but to understand the truth of it. If we plan on making it home to heaven, we've got to listen to Him. Amen? We got to trust Him. Even when we don't see Him, I've learned that. God, I've got to trust You. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding in all of your ways. Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Stand with me. Maybe today you're in the room. Maybe today you're listening online. Maybe today you're trying to figure out what direction to go in. Psychologists can only do so much. Pastors can only do so much. Therapists can only do so much. Neighbors can only do so much. Friends can only do so much. But if we'll trust Jesus, He'll get you home. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Thy Word, for Thy Word is truth. Thy Word is forever settled in heaven. And God, without You, I cannot do anything at all. Father, I just shared what You, I feel like, put in my heart today. God, there are so many people that have raised that SOS flag, looking for help, looking for somebody to hear them, for find them. Distress is everywhere around us today. And God, I pray today that as they call unto You, that Jesus, You'll come and transform their life, change their life, save their soul. Father, we know, God, today that You hear us. You said Your ear is ever open to the cry of the saints. So, Father, inside of every heart, inside of every life right now, those that cry out to You, would You save souls and would You change lives? Your heads are bowed, Your eyes are closed. Maybe your life recently has been on a path of destruction. Maybe you've never heard these scriptures before. Maybe you've never been to church in this church. Maybe it's been a long time since you've even called out to the Lord. But in just the next minute or two, if you'll just make that a point of life, God, I call to You. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me. Wash me in Your precious blood. Forgive me of all of my sins. Heal my body. God, take control of my life. Show me which way to go. Lord, I repent. I'm sorry for the things I've done against You, Lord. And I ask You to come into my life. Make me a new creature. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If that's you today, just slip your hand up and put it back down. You don't have to hold it up long, anyone at all. Anyone at all. Anyone else. And I believe if you'll do what God's Word says, trust Him, He'll get you home safe. I believe that. Amen. Why can't we give God a great old big hand clap of praise? Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Amen. Tonight's service is at 6 o'clock. And come on back out at 6. Help is on the way. God bless you as you go. In Jesus' name. Amen.